Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our reading today, Jesus talks about the flow of love. Love flows from the Father to the Son, from the Son to the disciples, from the disciples to each other. Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." We see the very effect of the Father's love towards the Son in the begetting of the Son. The Father begets the Son from eternity, sharing fully the divine nature with him. The Son receives himself from the Father, but in that sharing, the Father does not lose anything. It is a self-giving love in which giving does not impoverish the giver. And what is the love of the Son towards the disciples? Jesus mentions that he has chosen and ordained them to bring forth fruit. He has made them his friends so that they are no longer servants, and ultimately that he lays down his life for his friends. In all of this, the disciples receive what and who they are from Christ. Through his death, they receive a new existence. As the Son receives himself from the Father's love, so we receive ourselves, what we truly are, from the love of the Son who gave his life for us. In his death, he has accomplished freedom from the condemnation of the law, a perfect righteousness before God, and thereby the status as the adopted children of God. His friends, the disciples, those who are called and chosen, those who believe in him, get a new identity. No longer are they the children of sinful Adam, and that's all they are. Through God's love, which comes to them through in Christ, they are now the beloved friends. What truly defines who you are is no longer your past, but rather that which you receive from the love of Christ. That other, old, sinful self, yes, it's still there, seems to be sometimes even more real than the new self coming out of the love of Christ, but it is condemned and dead in baptism and will be fully executed in our physical death. So who are you? The true answer to this is, you are Christ's friends. You are the one for whom he died. You are the one to whom Christ has given all that he has gained on the cross. His righteousness, his holiness, and his life is yours. Therefore, you don't have to be concerned with the question, who are you? Who am I? You don't have to invent yourselves periodically. You don't have to realize yourself. You don't have to go out to an ashram or whatever, take a year off to find yourself, because Christ has already found you and has told you who you are. You are freed to from the necessity to create or safeguard your existence. You are now freed from looking incessantly to yourself, and the vista is open to see God in Christ and see your neighbor. In that giving, Christ does not lose anything. He gives all he has to us. And nevertheless, it remains his. In him we find the same giving love that does not impoverish itself as it gives. The flow of love then continues. Our text ends with love one another. As the ones who are defined by what they have received through the love of Christ, it is natural that this flow of self-giving love does not stop in us, but rather that it goes through us. Therefore, this last sentence, love one another, is not an additional burden for the Christian, but as natural for him as breathing is for the natural man. The struggles we still have with the flow of love, they show us the continued existence of that old man who is neither constituted nor defined by the love of Christ. But remember, he's already sentenced and he's going to the gallows. That's not you. This flow of love is not against commandments of Christ. Sometimes it seems that commandments and love seem contradictory. But Christ talks here about his commandment and his commandments. His commandment is to love each other. And obviously, he who abides in his love, who lives in his love, will keep this commandment. It's simply an explication of what it means. And that love and all commandments go together lies in the fact that at the center of the commandments of Christ and the commandments of God is love. Love is the fulfillment of the law, as Paul says. So, Christ's commandments are not arbitrary rules to make man's life harder or take the fun out of it. They are concrete examples of what it means to love. The love of the disciples, the love of the Christian, is not some sappy emotion or a weak anything-goes attitude. As the love of the Father, as the love of the Son, it is self-giving love. It is not a love that looks to oneself and tries to calculate how much one can give, but it looks to the neighbor how much he needs. It is a love that takes away the fear that by giving, by spending oneself, one can impoverish. It is a love that refutes that fear that rather be careful, watch it, because if you give and give and give at the end, you are the stupid one, because you are all by yourself and nobody will help you, and everything is spent. As God is not spent when he loves, and as Christ is not spent when he loves, so we are not spent when we love. We don't become poor when we love. As Christ loves us when he gives us what we need most, so now the disciples are free to love each other, and that means to give themselves, their time, their power, their strength, and their money to each other. If you want to love and give from your own resources, these resources will be depleted. Only as the channels of God's love we can love without running dry and becoming empty and disappointed. Our text is right after the parable of the vine and the branches. The branches can only bring fruit if the sap comes from the vine. Otherwise, cut off from the vine, a little sap will flow, and that's it then. Then there will be withering and death. Only when we continually receive the love of Christ in his word, in the promise of baptism, in his supper, the flow of love can go on. Only then we can truly be and live our new identity as branches of the vine, as the beloved children of God, and as Jesus' friends. And as such channels of God's love, our joy will be full. Amen.